Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
Not bad, guys.
On 95.7 The Game.
Look, if you do anything in a public space for a living, you're kind of addicted to making people laugh.
Yep.
And if you can find someone with an infectious laugh, that's even better. And that's what we got with our guy. That's who Greg Cosell is. He's not just from NFL films. He's a man with an infectious laugh. You've been told that before, Greg?
Many times. People tell me they like my laugh, you know? What can I tell you?
We love your laugh.
Oh, yeah.
And we love to try to make you laugh. We'll try to do it again as Greg joins us here on the River Islands
Guest Line. As long as I'm not laughing at you guys.
Well, no, we're okay with that, too. I mean, if you're going to put yourself out there, you know what I mean? Like, we ask you stupid stuff all the time. You can laugh at us, Greg.
All right, we'll see what happens tonight.
Yeah, let's find out. I don't even know necessarily where to start, so what if I kind of just do it in an umbrella sort of a way? The last time we talked to you, it was right before the Niners were going to go play the Rams. With all those injuries, Greg, they won the game. Talk to us. How did they do it?
Well, I'm sure you probably got a lot of calls about how good Kyle Shanahan was, didn't you?
Absolutely.
Actually, we did, but as you might guess, no, we did, but we've got even more who now want Mac Jones to keep starting until he loses.
Well, we knew that was coming too.
Of course.
So let's talk about this in a little more 30,000-foot way, because, you know, I actually watched the tape of this game on Saturday, so it's been 5 days, but obviously I take really detailed notes, so it's, you know, I've got that in front of me now as we're talking. I think one thing that's really important for people to understand about Kyle Shanahan and the passing game, every route is choreographed with footwork and eyes. And the foundation of the pass game is what we call pure progression. So in other words, you're not coming to the line necessarily and worrying about protection. The quarterbacks in this Kyle Shanahan system are rarely involved in calling or setting protections. They can override something if they really see something potentially problematic, but they don't call the protections. And pure progression, just to give a very quick, you know, without going into great detail, means that they're not necessarily reading the defense the way a lot of people think about reading defense. Because pure progression means you've got a primary, a secondary, a third, and you want to throw it to the primary, but if he's not open, you're not thinking, oh, why is he not open? You're just moving to the next guy. So it's not really a function of studying the defense in great detail pre-snap. So you're really a post-snap operator. And then what I thought was, because obviously Mac Jones was efficient in that game, I thought to myself, let's think about maybe the 32 starting quarterbacks, maybe even 64 if you want to go to backups, because theoretically that's what Mac Jones is, a backup. They're probably not all that much different with regards to arm talent, accuracy, processing. There, you know, there's a few elite guys that maybe have one really strong trait, whether that be great processing, great timing anticipation, amazing arm talent, athletic ability. But for the most part, it's more about the system that they learn in, and especially regarding the scheme and the play caller's ability to help them play and process consistently. That's what it's really about, guys. There's not, you know, 20 guys who are like, oh my God, these guys can do anything in any system and wow, they're great. There's, in fact, very few of those guys. And by the way, even the guys we consider great, they have a limitation or two as well. It's just that the coach understands how to, you know, work around that and how to make sure that that limitation does not become an issue in critical situations. So that's really what it's about with a quarterback.
And you look at the system and the scheme, and I'm thinking about the second touchdown, Greg, second and goal from the one, and they line up with two running backs in the backfield, and then they shift out, and all of a sudden now we've got problems if you're Los Angeles because McCaffrey is out there in the slot. What did you see on film from a scheme standpoint that made that play so perfect?
You're talking about the one-yard touchdown to McCaffrey,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
And it's funny. I'm looking at my notes. It came on great design off a pre-snap shift of Juszczyk, McCaffrey, and Tongas, which put McCaffrey in the slot to the field inside of Tongas. Now, the reason this was so good is the Rams were in heavy personnel, and they only had one defensive back on the field. So it was linebacker Reeder who walked out to match up to McCaffrey. So they had it right there. They knew, I guarantee, Mac Jones right then. And you probably couldn't see it on TV, but my guess is he was probably smiling right about that moment because he knew that he had McCaffrey on the quick out versus Reeder. So it was just great play design, great use of personnel, understanding exactly what you would get from the Rams personnel and how they would then match up. And that it became just pitch and catch, but it was such good design and scheming.
Greg Cosell, NFL Films with us. Okay, Greg, I know you get fatigued on this stuff, but I'm asking questions that I know that our listeners have. So I want to ask you two questions about two quarterbacks for the 49ers. And let's start with Mac. Why don't you give everybody a deep dive on what you saw from him last Thursday night and how that sort of, how that plays out going forward? Because it sounds like he's probably going to get at least one more coming up this weekend.
Sure. And I'm sure they don't want to put Purdy out there until he's 100% healthy, which would be smart. We've only played five games. There's a lot of season to go. And not that they want to lose a game, but the fact is they're 4-1, so they're in very good shape right now. As we discussed when Mac Jones first played, a number of weeks ago against the Saints, and then Purdy came back for the one game, Mac Jones in many ways fits exactly what the Shanahan system is. And I'm sure that's why they signed him. And I'm sure that's why there was all that talk the year they drafted Trey Lance that it would be Mac Jones. Because this is the kind of quarterback he is. You saw the rhythm with which he played. He hit his back foot, and for the most part, the ball came out, which negated a really strong four-man D-line pass rush of the Rams, which is what you were trying to do anyway, because you didn't want that group to really get fired up. But it's all timing and rhythm. It's all choreography. He's very efficient playing that way. That's really the only way he can play at a high level. They were really good on third down. I think they had 18 third down plays, which is a ton in a game. He was 6-for-12 with 5 of the 6 completions resulting in first down. That's the critical stat. You want to get first downs on third down. But he looked very, very efficient. There's absolutely no question about that. Now, what's really interesting about the game, though, he got very lucky on a 3rd-and-11 play with just over 3 minutes remaining in the fourth quarter and the game tied. You might remember this play.
Oh, yeah.
He threw a kind of a quick seam route to a short seam almost to Tongas, and the dropping linebacker Stewart got his hands on the pass. But if Stewart did not touch it, Curl would have intercepted that ball easily. He was literally right there. So, and that's what happens in games. There's so many plays. Not every play is perfect. And sometimes, that stuff has to happen. And the other factor is, and this is why you go through a whole game, obviously Kyren Williams fumbled. But let's say he scores a touchdown there and they lose the game. What do you think the conversation would have been about Mac Jones? And it wouldn't have changed anything about the way in which he played.
Right.
It would have had, right? It would have changed nothing about the way in which he played. But nobody would be saying, oh, my God, that's Mac Jones' best game as a pro. That wouldn't have been the way that the conversation would have progressed. Wouldn't you guys agree with that?
Yeah, unless he then grabbed the ball with a minute left to go and went down the field
right,
and scored.
Let's assume that didn't happen. Yeah, let's assume that didn't happen.
No, you're absolutely right.
Which takes nothing away from the way in which he played, by the way. I thought he was really efficient. I thought that Kyle did such a good job with creating – primary read throws so that he could hit that back foot and the ball could come out. As I said, because everything is so choreographed in the Kyle Shanahan system. And it looked pretty.
So, Greg, this is what I think a lot of people are wondering about now, which is if you're going to say this is so much about Kyle Shanahan and largely most NFL quarterbacks kind of same arm talent, you know, all of that, then the question I think for Niner fans sort of gets to like, well, then why would they ever pay big dollars for a quarterback if it's almost just kind of sub in, sub out? Which leads me to, you said certain quarterbacks have a very special, at least one skill set. Does Brock Purdy, like what is his great skill?
I would say that Brock Purdy's sense of timing and anticipation is a notch better than Mac Jones. I would say I think one of his superpowers is his ability to innately and instantaneously see late coverage rotation and know exactly how that impacts his post-snap operation. I think those are the two things that Purdy does at a really, really high level. And I think he does that at a higher level than Mac Jones. But Mac Jones can be very efficient within the context of a Shanahan offense.
When you look at this weekend's opponent, and it's Baker Mayfield, how much better has he gotten? Or is it more that he's a byproduct now of being in a better system?
It's a combination of both, but you know, it's the system is always a big deal. I mean, it's funny, the more tape I watch and the more I see how coaches use motion, and by the way, the 49ers lead the NFL in the deployment of movement before the snap of the ball, pre-snap movement, you know, and more teams are doing that. To me, it more often than not really comes down to how the coordinator uses the entire scheme and everything that goes with it. Use of personnel, formations, motion, route concepts, and how that puts the quarterback in a position to play with decisiveness. The last thing you want from a quarterback is getting stuck in the pocket because he just doesn't know where to go with the football. Now, can that happen? Sometimes, obviously, defensive coaches and players get paid too, as everybody says. But I think, you know, Baker's been in a great system. Last year he had Liam Cohen. This year he has a new coordinator, but he's doing a terrific job in terms of all these factors that I just spoke about. And Baker is playing with such decisiveness. And the other thing, too, that stands out is first down passing. First down passing, I've always believed, and I was taught this by people a lot smarter than I am, is really the best down to throw on, guys, because you pretty much more – everything in football is probability and tendency, but on first down, you get much more predictable tendency fronts and coverages, and it's just the best down. And last week, Baker was so good on first down. I think he was 14 for 16 for 191 yards on first down, and it's just the best down to throw.
Greg Cosell, NFL Films. Greg, how did you see the 49ers deploy Kendrick Bourne in what led to a big night for him?
You know, it's funny, and this is no knock on Kendrick Bourne. He's playing the league a long time, and not that he cares what I think, but he's the kind of player that I just love those kinds of guys. Guys who are, you know, playing the league 10, 12 years. They're not going to be Hall of Famers, but they're just really, really good players over the course of a long career. I think he happened to be the beneficiary of just a really, really well-schemed pass game. I mean, like, he had a 16-yarder in the second quarter on second and nine. It's a high-low concept. They run a high-low concept no matter who the receivers are. He happened to run the high route in the high-low concept, and it was precise timing and ball placement by Jones. There was another high-low concept where he ran the intermediate out cut and Jones threw a really good ball. It was 19 yards on the first third quarter possession. I mean, he's always run good routes. He's always been that guy who understands how to run routes, but there are, you know, a lot of plays where the concept, Bourne was the guy within the concept. And I'm not saying anybody could have done it. I don't want to say it that way, because that makes it seem like, you know, Born like I could have been out there, which is obviously not the case, but he was the guy that they ended up, you know, focusing on in a lot of the concepts where he was the primary.
And Tampa Bay does a lot of 11 personnel where, you know, you've got the three wide receivers, and even though they've been down a couple of their big guys, Emeka Ebuka has been unbelievable through 5 weeks. What do you see from not only him, but the overall Tampa offense on tape, Greg?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Ebuka, he's a really good player. You guys may know that he comes from up in the Seattle area, and he was initially going to go to Stanford, and Ohio State came calling because he's an incredibly impressive person. I watched him speak at the podium at the Combine this past year, you know, when he came out, and you came away from listening to him talk thinking this guy's going to be the CEO of a major corporation. Hmm. I mean, he's really an impressive guy. And from everything you hear, he just gets it. You know, he understands what he has to do. He understands what being a pro is. He's a really refined route runner. He's got really good hands. He's got a little more speed than people probably give him credit for. You know, not a burner, but he's not, you know, just a slower possession type. And, you know, that's what you want in your receivers. He understands how to beat man. He understands how to find voids in zones. He understands the pace and tempo and timing of routes. You know, that's what route running is. It's not just, hey, let's run. That's why very often guys who are 4-3 guys are not often always great receivers, because they've always been able just to run, and they don't necessarily understand the pace, the timing, the rhythm of routes.
Greg, I'm not quite done with last Thursday's game yet. I want to ask you one more. Let's go fourth down in overtime.
You can ask me more than one.
Well, sure, and maybe we will. No promises. But like, Sean McVay was so upset with himself after the game for what he called a horrible call. So I want to know what your perspective was on that play. What did you see and how that came together?
Well, they had run the exact same play three or four times prior to that, and they converted every time. So it's easy to say the fact that they didn't convert that, oh, well, they ran it before and the 49ers knew based on the formation that it was coming. Maybe so. Look, when coaches do that in a press conference, and you guys have been around long enough to know, you know, we don't know. And McVay, to me, I don't know Sean McVay. He comes across as reasonably genuine to me just from seeing him, you know, do that stuff. But you don't know if he's doing that to take one for the team. And, you know, you don't know the answer to that. But all I know is that they'd run the exact same play in short yardage three or four times. It worked every time. So, you know, it's obviously it didn't work that time. So for the 49ers, that was a good deal. For the Rams, it wasn't. But, you know, I think that he did say he would have gone for it, you know, no matter what. And that's okay.
Is it harder for these teams that don't utilize the tight end a lot to go ahead and try to run that sort of a play when you're looking at fourth and short?
I mean, there's many ways. There's many plays you can run on fourth and short. Obviously, you run what you think you can execute well. You know, as I said, that particular play had worked earlier in the game. You know, look, there's always the way these kinds of plays work, and you guys know this. When it doesn't work, people say they should have done something else. When it works and they run something that's kind of a staple.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
People say, oh, they went to something they know they can execute. So, you know, once we have access to the result, it becomes an easy thing to talk about. You know, that's always the way these kinds of things work in critical situations.
Greg, I know when we look at the Tampa Bay Bucs, everybody, you know, their eyes are all just kind of focused on that offense. I noticed, though, that, you know, Tampa has given up the third most points in the NFC as well. It seems like it's going to be this same 49ers kind of skeleton crew going in there. But what do you right. think about that matchup? What opportunity exists for the 49ers offense? Like, what have you seen from the Bucs defense?
Well, you know, the Bucs defense normally, and it may be different because they've had some injuries on defense as well. Normally, Todd Bowles is a high percentage blitzer. He did not do that very much against the Seahawks last week, and there may have been reasons for that. The Seahawks are a high percentage base personnel offense, as the 49ers are. And maybe he felt, hey, you know, I'm not playing in my nickel, in my base defense. I'm not going to blitz as much. I don't know the reason why. All I know is that Todd Bowles has always been one of the highest percentage blitzers in the league. Tampa's always near the top in blitz percentage, and he has some real staple pressures that are really difficult because he's so good at understanding protections and attacking protections. And again, what Kyle Shanahan, I'm sure, will be looking to do, number one, they'll want to keep trying to get the run game going first and foremost. But number two, they'll want to get the pass game to be very similar. Not exactly, you don't do the same thing every week, but they'll want the ball to come out quick. That'll be, you know, that's always the key against a Todd Bowles defense, because you never know when he is going to blitz.
Greg Cosell, NFL Films, we got a couple laughs in there. That's all we need to keep us fueled and ready to go. So thank you very much.
Hey, you know what I meant to tell you guys? If
What's
we just
that?
Have a second.
Yeah, we do.
You know, I grew up in Queens in New York. And from the time I was 6-7 years old, this was actually before the Big East in college basketball, I had season tickets with my dad at St. John's, which was 10 minutes from my house. So my favorite player ever was Chris Mullin. Hey. And I'm sure you guys know him.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
He comes on
and
all the time. Yeah.
Yeah. He was a guy that, you know, all through the years, because he was my favorite player, you know, I'm in the sports business, obviously, that I always wanted to meet, because, you know, it was one of the, like, when I was, that was the last time I was, like, passionate about, you know, the St. John's team in the Big East in, like, 85, 80, you know, I guess it was 82 to 85, that I was super passionate about a college team. And it was those Mullin years.
Do you
yeah,
ever
Bill Wennington yep. and all the fellows out there.
Mark Jackson was on no team,
yep.
by the way.
Yep.
And then Walter Berry. And,
yep.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah.
Do you ever break down NBA film, Greg?
No, but I'm a basketball guy. I played in high school and college. So.
Okay.
My claim to fame in high school was I went head-to-head against Ernie Grunfeld.
No, wow. That's
Nick's
incredible.
Legend, yeah.
You know, Greg,
needless to say, he got the better of it.
Wow.
Imagine that.
But not every time,
yeah.
right?
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, every
I'm
time.
I'm not ashamed to say that. You know, that's the way it goes.
Man, the glory days of the Big East with Raleigh Massimino at Villanova and John Thompson
right.
and the Big Towel and, of course, Louis Conaseca. For your
when I was growing up, we sat three rows behind Louis at St. John's at Alumni Hall before the Big East.
So good.
Greg, if you really want this segment to go through the roof, we'll have you come on during the NBA season and break down a little Jonathan Kuminga film.
Yes, he re-signed, right?
He sure did.
Yeah. And now I guess Seth Curry's there too, huh?
That's correct. We got both of them.
Wow! Yeah, when's the opening? The opening game, and when's the NBA start?
Yeah, couple weeks here. Couple weeks.
Yeah, because I know that the NHL started last night, but the NBA in a couple of weeks. Huh?
Exactly right. Yeah. So
all right,
get to work, Greg. We're gonna ask you.
Oh boy! Oh boy! It's gonna be tough. I don't have time in my life for that, guys. You know.
Greg, we'll talk to you next week. Thank you, my friend.
All right, guys. Love it as always. Thanks so much.
Okay, thank you. There's Greg Cosell, NFL/NBA Films.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.